Ding dong with this song, right? Ooh, Applebee's. Love the Applebee's.
My girl is banging. She's so lame. Don't need no champagne popping and flaming. Take her to Wendy's. Can't keep her off me. She wanna dip me like them fries in a frosty. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta spoil my baby with enough pay.
Like Applebee's on a date night.
Got that Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top two.
One straw, two checks.
Girl, I got you. Bougie like Maddie. I'm down for
sweet, better song.
Your story.
The typical Applebee's guy. Fancy like one straw, two checks. Mark Thompson's with us. Hey, Mark, is San Francisco, I know you're up there on weekdays, are they experiencing a lot of the same container ships sitting out at sea or in the bay there?
Yeah, they've got a little bit different in the sense that we have way more in Southern California off the coast than we have in the bay in San Francisco. So in terms of that, those are the numbers in terms of container ships that are hovering, if you want to think of it that way. But what they have in the Bay Area that is not so much in Southern California is they have other issues with trucking and loading. So at the dock itself, there are problems with trucks being backed up, and I get calls and emails and texts from people who are in that world saying that there's favoritism there at the docks and that they're payoffs and that they don't load trucks that are, you know, not their friends' trucks. And, you know, I hate to say it, but all that sounds fairly believable to me. You know, I mean, let's face it, it's the docks. And I think a lot of stuff goes down there. Well, but anyway, that's the state of the state in that regard.
So, you know, what they're doing down here in, you know, off of San Pedro and Long Beach is there, you know, trucks are bringing these containers in. And there's nowhere to put them down at the harbor, so they're driving them into residential neighborhoods and just dropping them off. And they're blocking driveways of people. There's one that crashed on top of a car. There's one guy who had his, you know, he rented out his yard, and he's got 20 containers in his backyard that he's just renting out to a, you know, local container company. It's crazy.
That is insanity.
It's almost like the old Coliseum parking. You know, where you just go and park and put 30 cars in your lot.
I did that several times. Yeah. Give somebody $20 and you park it on their lawn.
And you just hope it's there when you get out, you know?
Yeah.
But not $20, you know, I went to a Rams game right before they moved to SoFi. That's up to 80 to 100 in that area.
That's
now.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's wild.
Well, what used to be at the Coliseum is there's kind of a ring, and there's a, you know, there's the $50 ring, and then you go a little further out, $40, $30, right. $20. So I'd shoot for that $20 to $30 ring.
Yeah, it was.
And then walk the rest of the way.
Yeah, and you got to park in that area, park down closer to USC. Well, look, they've gone, so it doesn't matter. But I got an email here from a guy who's very, very familiar with the port and the trouble. And I'd like to read it to you people here. Ready? I can't tell you his name. I told him I wouldn't attach his name to it. But it says here, I work at several of the terminals in the Port of Long Beach and at a few in the Port of Los Angeles. Right now, as I write this email, I'm working at a terminal in the Port of Long Beach, and we are not working 24/7 and never have we worked 24/7. We have two shifts here. First shift is known as dayside, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The second shift is known as nightside, and it's 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. Sometimes, if needed, we have a hoot shift, which begins at 3 a.m., ends at 8 a.m. It's only a five-hour shift, but the hoot shift is shorter because they don't have breaks, and they don't take a lunch break as well. So the problem, according to the Cross Country Haul driver I spoke with today and other co-workers is corporate America. They are responsible for this problem. This truck driver told me that there isn't a truck driver shortage at all, and that he and his friends that are cross country haul drivers that show up to a warehouse and distribution center to pick up a loaded container, which they call a load, and they are told that the shipment is there, but they can't take it with them. I also know the people that work in distribution centers, and they told me that they have a lot of shipments that have been sitting for 30 or 60 days, and they're told to tell the truck drivers that they're to pick up certain products, and that they can and they cannot pick them, not pick up others as well. It seems that the shortage is being caused on purpose, but the question is, nobody knows who's doing it. Isn't that wild?
God.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
If that's true, and look, this guy has a lot of knowledge, and I think he might be onto something here, but they're lying when they say they're working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They have two shifts, you know, day side and night side, and the other shift is just a five, you know, it's, let me see, 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. It's a five-hour shift, and they said that's only when needed, and they don't really need it because they're doing, you know, hauling, taking so many of these containers off during the day side and night side shift. They don't really need this third shift.
It is true that private companies control so much, so the idea somehow that you could force them or that they would volunteer to go 24/7 is kind of laughable because they're just not. Just what that person was saying in their email is true, given the fact that these are private companies. They're not.
Right.
You can have the port open, but it there'll be nothing going on because of just what this guy's saying.
The larger container ships they have 19,000 containers on them, right? 19,000.
God, that's insane.
So it takes the better part of a week to unload it and load it again. And I heard from another friend who's in the import-export business, one of those containers from China used to cost $2,500 to have it sent from China to the port of Los Angeles, right? And then you pay your bill there and you get your container, $2,500. He said that's gone up now, and some of these containers are $25,000. So if you have $25,000 and you multiply it by 19,000 containers, you're looking at $475 million to bring that container ship from China to here and have it unloaded. And they make $475 million in just shipping costs. Is that one ship? One ship.
Those are overwhelming numbers.
Isn't that unbelievable? You know, that's why they can afford to pay these, you know, river pilots when they go up the Columbia River, or, you know, or the pilots that bring them into San Pedro or Long Beach. You know, these pilots get a lot of money, but then, man, they get nowhere near the kind of money that these ship owner and these company who owns these ships. $475 million worth of just shipping costs. You know, it's unbelievable. there's a company called Winston Doors and Screens, and they make these really secure screens that are almost impossible to break through. You can take a baseball bat and take a half hour and you barely make a dent in it, but it looks like a real screen. You know, it's not one of those bars where it looks like you're in prison. And sure. And they said, and I, you know, we're getting two more screen doors at the house. And I said, it's going to take some while because those ships are off the coast. I imagine the turnaround time's what, about 6 months? He said, no, it's about 6 weeks. I said, how are you getting your product in 6 weeks from Australia? And he said, everything is flown in. He said, the people who fly their containers in, that business has gone up like 17,000%. Where people are tired of having their stuff sit out at a port for, you know, 2, 3, 4 months. And now they said the shipping business of shipping stuff air from China and Australia is the hottest thing right now in import-export.
That makes total sense. I mean, that seems like the only workaround. Otherwise, you're just online, as you say, and you're waiting on that line for however long.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it really, truly is. I don't know how people stay in business. I really don't know how they do it. With all the headaches, you know, you open up a mom-and-pop business, and you got to have, you know, you have so many things that could bury you. You know, you've got maybe the product you're selling isn't working. Maybe you hired somebody that, is not good at their job in sales. You're not getting enough advertising out there. You know, people are suing you because, you know, somebody made a mistake and got hurt. You have insurance to pay for. You've got, you know, all the hard work you put into a business. I mean, these business owners, they are the real heroes in U.S. business. The guy who opens up a small business and makes it successful are really, they really deserve a lot more credit than they get. It's almost impossible to open a business. Almost impossible.